I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast for another week. Didn't really want to do the podcast this week after a horrendous weekend just gone, but Wenin forced me back onto the show, mate. What a horrible week by my team and plenty of others, wasn't it?
Have you found it yet?
I'm out. This is it. This is my last year. I'm done.
You say that every single time. And no, you'll be back, mate. You're just a sucker for punishment.
I'm done. Mate, I'm going to start the show off, and I'm going to tell you my two trades from last week, just for everyone's amusement. First trade, traded out Fytella Mariner and purchased Gallen. And second trade, traded out Asako and traded in George Jennings. Is that the two worst trades you've ever heard?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have done them. So it's your own fault. It's not even luck that's the issue there. I mean, why would you trade at RFM?
Because I wanted Gallen. It's buys, mate. I should never have worried about the buys. Should have just
holding on to? You still got Lodge?
Yeah, still got Lodgy boy.
You've lost the plot, mate. Absolutely lost the plot.
It was absolutely horrendous. 880. I've dropped down outside the top 4,000, and this is my last season of Supercoach. Officially, I'm done. What about you?
No more easy beats.
No more easy beats after this year. You had a pretty decent score, didn't you? Not too bad?
Yeah, I think just on par, to be honest. So I scored about 970 and still in the top 800, dropped back about 100 spots. So it's all going well at the moment. But a few injuries in my side at the moment, which we'll get to shortly. But I think a few of the big players are starting to make the move.
Yeah, definitely. It was a horrible week for injuries in round 7. So just to set the scene for the pod tonight, we'll have all the usual injuries, teams, and then trade talk, basically. We'll jump right into the injuries because there was a few big ones this week. Fifita's been named this week, mate, but I don't think there's any chance that he plays personally.
No, long odds, you'd reckon?
Yeah, I reckon it's 2 to 3 weeks probably for Fifita, but hopefully we'll find out more from late mail. We had Matty Gillette last week, and then Gallen's obviously one of the other big ones this week with an MCL strain. He's 4 to 6 weeks out. We'll talk about him later, but he's basically a must sell. Hopefully Nathan Brown will be back next week. Cam Murray should be close to returning this week, probably next week though as well. Jai Arrow didn't finish out the game due to back spasms, but he's been named this week. And then Josh Mansell is probably the other big one, isn't he, with the fractured cheekbone?
Yeah, that looked really nasty. So he looked set to miss about a month, which is unfortunate. But for owners, it's probably a good excuse to get rid of him because he was pretty much just plodding along anyway, mate.
Yeah, definitely. Carter for the Warriors has been named, but unlikely to play either, which could impact Tohu Harris potentially moving out to the centres. Matt Lodge suffered that rib cartilage injury, but named this week, and hopefully he can needle up and get going. And there's a few other fringe players who have injured themselves as well, but those are the big ones. Fifita, Gallen, Mansour, and Solomon Okata, really. It's just been horrible last couple of weeks for injuries, hasn't it?
Yep, carnage. It's all starting to happen, and those trades are getting used left, right and centre, particularly myself. And just an interesting injury last week was Jackson Hastings, mate, with a reported Achilles injury. I think that was a bit of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's come out that he's not very well liked at the club and we will not see him back in first grade this year. So, yeah, pretty interesting story, isn't it, that one?
Oh, crazy. You must just be a ripping bloke. it just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, hopefully that's all good things for my boy DCE and he can fire up this weekend against the Eels.
Mate, I'm going to put the curse on you. I'm going to bring him in.
That's fine because you don't have any curse powers at all at the moment, mate. You've officially killed the banner curse and thankfully I'll be back this week, mate, and I'm going to make sure that it gets back onto its winning ways.
Yeah, the banner curse is having a horrible start to 2018. That's for sure. But, yeah, I'm just looking to write the weekend off. Even on Daily Fantasy, on Play On, I'd been on a bit of a run. I had an absolutely horrible weekend just gone. So just got to put that behind me and move forward, mate. Move forward. I only got 19 rounds left in my Supercoach career before I hang it up.
So we had Beat the Champ promo on the weekend, and it's safe to say that a lot of people beat the champ.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. In the 32-man Saturday comp, I think it was, I finished 30th. That was just a joke.
All right, mate. Let's get straight into the teams, eh? You can take it off.
Let's do it. Yep, we'll do like we did last week. We'll punch through them pretty quickly, and then you can add your 2 cents at the end. Bulldogs and Roosters. Bulldogs are unchanged. Roosters, Reece Robb's been dropped, which means Joseph Manu's to the wing and Orbo's into the centres, so should be some good minutes there for Ryan Madison. The Warriors, like we said, Carter's been named, but probably unlikely to play. Mannering named back into the starting team. Dragons unchanged. Broncos, Lodge named. Hopefully he can needle up and play. Still no Nikurima in the starting side, so Jack Bird remains in the halves. And Pangai Jr. starts at prop. And for the Storm, Riley Jacks is named again this week. For the Rabbitohs, Burgess returns and starts at lock. Murray's on an extended bench, but probably unlikely. And the Raiders are unchanged. The Tigers, Reynolds is out with an injury, just returned. And he's 1 to 6 weeks out. Bit of an unknown there. So Godinet's named on the bench. A few other changes there in the back row, but nothing particularly relevant. The Knights, Brock Lamb's been dropped, so Cogger is starting there in the halves as they still wait for Watson to regain his fitness. The Cows are unchanged. The Titans, Sammy's shifted into centre with Copley out. Tyrone Davis onto the bench. Ryan James returns and Arrow has been named despite those back spasms from last week. For the Eels, interesting here. Bevan French is out and Kirisomi Avaa is out. Hain is on the wing. Takarang is in the centres. George Jennings keeps his spot. A few other changes there in the forward pack as well with Bo Scott being dropped and a few other bits and pieces there. But good old George Jennings staying strong. Manly's unchanged. For the Sharks, Fifita's named but has to be unlikely. Luke Lewis, similar. Gallen is out with Paulo named to start in his position. Dugan's at fullback and Moylan is in the halves. And for the Panthers, Crichton holds his spot, even with the return of DWZ with the injury to Mansour. And Harawira Naira is named in the centres, which sort of waters down him as an option, even though he had sort of dropped in price and started to look good in the last couple of weeks. So quite a lot doing there, isn't there, mate? You know, a little bit to do with the injuries. And then George Jennings named, probably the big news.
Yep, he's done a very good job covering it all. I don't have too much to add. I mean, I wrote the team's analysis yesterday. It's all with him. But, yeah, it's pretty much carnage this week. This is one of the first times we've seen it in the season with lots of ins and outs, lots of movements, some coaches getting a bit over the performance of the players. I mean, just the key one to me is probably Orbison moving into the centre. Madison is now going to get big minutes or guaranteed 80 minutes. Mannering finally comes into the starting side, so he's been averaging mid-30s, and you know he's going to be really cheap soon, so that it's a big plus. Obviously, Lodge and Pangai Jr. starting is also positive, but we'll wait for the late mail. Now, interesting one was Riley Jack, so it's a bit confusing today because the Suncoast QRL side also named a Riley Jacks in the halves today too. So Wacko came to the party with that and explained that it should have been Riles Jacks. So that's pretty big.
Is there seriously someone called Riles Jacks?
I don't know. Well, that's what Wacko said. So That's amazing, isn't it? So they play on Saturday, and then the Storm play before that. But surely that's just a either an error, or there is a person really called Reece Jacks.
Yeah, so. That was Super Sleuth Mark Gill on the case, wasn't it?
It is, mate. He's all over it. No, that's all chargeables at work as well, obviously. So the Rabbitohs, I mean, we've spoken there, Sergis and Murray, that's the big talking points there. Murray, I think it's a 50-50 chance, so we'll just see what happens. That he, you know, we'll know early enough, I think, if he's going to play, and obviously the whispers will be very important at Titans with Sammy. So I don't think that that's going to make too much of a difference to his scoring. If anything, I would think that it probably decreases it, because he's already been getting through 30 base points per game, and I can't see that he'll get through much more in the centres. So he potentially, if anything, will lose the chance of tries. So some people are looking to hold on to him. I think it's ridiculous just for that reason. So he's a trade-out definitely for me. Eels, just absolute carnage, mate, with how they've been going. So no real surprises there, but yeah, your boy Jennings has held his spot, but even so, he scored, below 30 on the weekend, so that break-even's going to come up pretty fast. So he could be a pretty dud cow, but, you know, at least he gets his job security looks relatively good now based on the outs. So, you know, that's good news for those who brought him in last week. And then, yeah, with the Sharks for Fita, you got to think that he's unlikely, but good to see he's been named. And that's about it, mate. CHN named in the centres, which I don't think is great for him. He's been brought in this week. He probably shouldn't be. And then Crichton's job security on the wing for the Panthers looks fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Let's hope that Eels versus Manly game is 42-40 or something like that. DCE, Tommy Turbo, ton up, George Jennings with a hat trick. That'd be beautiful.
Yeah. Well, the mail is the Eels at the plus this weekend, mate. So I think people are expecting that they will put in a good performance against the Seagulls, but I think the Seagulls will win quite comfortably.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's go straight into the trades. And we might start with the sells this week, just off the back of your mention of old mate Philip Sammy there. He's obviously the most popular sell target by a mile, and a bit no-brainer there, isn't he, mate? He's up to 470K. He's done a great job.
He has, amazing. But just to put it into perspective, if he scores, I think, 25 this week or 30, you know, he's going to drop in value by almost, 60K, 70K? So he is a must trade out and just take that cash. And considering you can sideways trade him to a Rapana and then upwards trade for, 100K to someone like a Madison, you know, you just got to get rid of him.
Yeah, agreed, mate. People like you compared to people like me who got him versus those who didn't have him, that's just a huge, 250K boost to your team value, basically. So well done on him. Old mate JT, another shocker on the weekend, down to 450K. He's got the Titans at home this week. I mean, if he can't get the job done this week, he's never going to get it done, basically.
Yeah, that's right. But they looked so all over the place, and so did JT last weekend, and people were saying he was going to have a massive game against the Bulldogs at home. But, yeah, they look a bit clueless at the moment, not really sure who's running the show. Is it him or Morgan? But he's too good a player, and they'll sort it out soon. Break-even of 74 this week. If you've held him for this long or through to this and the price drop that he's suffered to date, I think you've just got to hold him.
Yeah, agreed. I'm definitely holding him. Got a good draw the next couple of weeks. People are selling Mansour and Gallen and Gillette, which all makes sense. People are selling Cartwright and Lachlan Croker. Look, these guys probably aren't really going to do too much, Cartwright especially. Lachlan Croker still got a pretty low BE, might go up in price a little bit, but I think people are probably selling them for either just Gostkowski or Riley Jacks, which probably makes sense. The Broncos boys, Lodge and Pangai, probably two of the more interesting ones. And I've toyed around with selling Lodge this week. At the moment, I've still held him, but probably not going to go up too much more in price. He's already at 400K. You might get another 20 or 30K over the next few weeks out of him. And Pangai, the only way for him is surely up. After a bit of a poor game on the weekend, he's back into the starting side. So if I was to sell one of these two, I'd be selling Lodge. But personally, I'm going to hold both of them for now.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there. Pangos has so much upside, so I'll be holding him. The Broncos have got the five in the next six games at home, so hoping that he, you know, regains a bit of, or has regained fitness, gets into the starting side this week for Thaiday. So I'm backing him in. And Lodge, you know, with that rib injury as well, his minutes could become a little bit, you know, they reduce it, or, you know, his base stats could really take a hit, because he might not be willing to go for the, you know, the run or take the tackle as much as what he previously did. So with a break even at 39, if I'm going to look to move on one of them, that it would be him out of Pangai for sure. And just, I guess, going back to Croker and Cartwright. Cartwright for me is a trade, but, you know, you can do it next week if you want, because he does still have a relatively low break even this week. And Croker does cover round 13, but is it worthwhile missing out on Jacks, for example, just for like a 25, 30 points around 13, I'd probably say no. Thankfully, I've got Marshall King there that I can move on, so I don't need to make that or have that decision in front of me. So
beautiful. Yeah, people are moving on Griffin with Danny Levi getting more minutes, which makes sense. Robbie Rocco, he's increased 200K since the start of the year, been a great cow there. So you had Sammy and Rocco, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Far out. And I had...
I
had Zach Lomax and Luciano Leilua.
Yeah. Well, I did tell you, mate. Bring in the Rocco. Bring in the Rocco. But no, you can't be trading out Rocco this week, I don't think.
Not trading him this week. What's he doing? I don't know much about him, to be honest.
Well, he's still playing 80 minutes, right, on the edge for the Tigers. And, you know, he's produced scores of around about 40 and 30 in the past couple of weeks. But he does cover round 13. And unlike Croker, he could net you about 40 to 50 points probably for that round, which will be hugely valuable. And I can't see that his price will decrease too much over the, you know, the coming month or so. So I'd probably be holding him and hoping that he gets another try in between the time and at least holds his price, and then you can trade him out for round 13 would be my play. And I would definitely be looking to move on someone like a Pangai Jr. or a Lodge before him.
Yeah, so Rocco scored a try in round 4 and had 87, which obviously bumped his price right up. Break even this week is 60. So, I mean, you know, if he scores 50, he's only going to drop in price by about 7 grand. So it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not. And he's, you know, he's getting consistent minutes, and Tigers have been playing well. So he's someone that I would definitely try and persist with at least until round 13.
All right. Just one last one on the sells there. Corey Thompson, again, from the Tigers. I've seen a few people selling him, coming off the back of a 29 and a 34 in the last 2 weeks. He's made about 130K. Break even is 81 now. So after some tries and some really good evade stats in the early weeks, he's gone a bit quiet the last couple of weeks. Does have the Knights this week, and then Penrith, and then the Warriors, and then the Cowboys. So it's a pretty decent next month, and I think most people would probably have bigger issues than old Corey, wouldn't they?
Yep, I agree. And he also does cover around 13. He has beaten Lolo here to the fullback spot there too, so... he's probably someone that I'd persist with, because there is another big score that it's going to come.
Yeah, yeah, and it could be this week against the Knights. All right, plenty of sells there. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll cover off who we want to buy this week.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so people are going to be selling those injured players, some of those guys like Sammy and co that have peaked in price, or the likes of Bryce Cartwright, who just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And who would you recommend that they be buying this week? There's a couple of guys with really low break-evens, a couple of guns who have bottomed out in price, or a couple of up-and-comers like Luke Brooks, who's been a bit of a surprise packet. Who would you sort of have as your maybe top three buyers for the week?
Well, I'll be bringing in Riley Jacks and Ryan Madison this week. I already own Jordan Rapana, otherwise he could be up in that list. But, you know, Jacks, even if he just averages 40 over the next 2 weeks, will go up in value by 120K. And playing the Broncos this week, I think that, you know, it's a chance that he could get another 50 to 60 points. So he, to me, he's looking like a fantastic trade-in just for a bit of, you know, an easy cash generation. And he could be a sideways trade to somebody like a Thurston or even a Milford in, you know, 3 weeks. So I'll be turning Jeremy Marshall-King into him. And then Ryan Madison has just been fantastic on the edge for the Roosters this year. Yes, he's had the attacking stats in the past couple of weeks, but, you know, he's got average base, I think, about 49 this year. And the centre wings have just been such a roller coaster. If you can lock in a goal that's going to produce 45 to 50 points as a base each week with the potential of attacking stats, then it's too good to refuse. And I think he's got a break even of negative 16 or something along those lines this week, priced over 500, but he's not going to stay at that price for very long. So they're definitely my top two, with one of them being or looming to be should be a keeper in your centre wing. Then for the non-owners, Rapana looks a lot of value. But then again, you know, that 70 was the best he's done in about a month. And before that, he looked, you know, owners such as myself were considering trading him out. So I certainly wouldn't be, you know, jumping at him right about now. I'd be also looking at the Raiders draw that's coming up too. So that would be my thoughts on him. Goskowski, we said before, I don't think he's a rolled gold cash cow. His PPM's horrible, and I still think you can get him next week, and that's probably what I'll be targeting. So if he plays 80 minutes again, then he's someone that I'll be looking to downgrade maybe a Pango Jr. to or a Lodge next week. Generate a bit of cash so I can bring in the next guy on the list there, which is Jason Tamalolo, who had 100 points last week, I think, in over 60 minutes and had 66 points from base. So that's what he was producing last year. Fantastic to see the base points in particular, and I'm really happy that I get to wait a week to see if he can produce it again, and happy to take a small to medium price rise to give me, you know, to give me that kind of that another week to check him out to see if he's back to what he was producing last year or if it was a bit of a one-week kind of wonder, because there's plenty of other options there. One guy that isn't on this list, but somebody that is definitely on my radar is Fitzy from the Knights, mate. What are your thoughts on him? He's been having a cracking season.
He has been having a cracking season. I just can't bring in a back row from the Knights after I started the season last year with old mate Mitch Barnett, and he killed me. I just can't do it. But Fitzgibbon's got 4 tries this year, coming off an 83 and an 82 the last 2 weeks. Look, base stats aren't huge for a back rower. 44, 36, 40, 36, 36, 46. So very consistent around that 40 base per game, but helped out a lot with the tries, just running off Ponga's hip. It's excellent for Ponga owners when you get that line break assist and try assist when Fitzgibbon crashes over. Break even's 8. He'll increase in price. Plays around 13 though, so yeah, maybe a bit of a flyer, left field selection.
Well, I mean, everyone's going for Tamalolo, right? He's had the first game he played was brilliant, and then the second good game was last week, and in between that, it's been some pretty horrific scores. And people, again, like Rapana, have been considering trading him out. So there's going to be a whole heap of people buying Tamalolo off the back of one big performance, and I think that it could be a nice pod play just to look elsewhere to see if you can pick up someone like a Fitzgibbon, who is definitely not going to be traded in too much. You know, his base is still 40, and historically, over his career, he's been a try scorer. Looks to be playing really well with combination with Pierce. And, you know, he's the kind of pod that you want, right? Because he's got a chance of scoring you 100 points. Mm. So he's someone that I'm looking at potentially next week. He's still priced at 538 at the moment, so might go up 30K or 20K this week. So definitely not too expensive by any means. So he's just a player that I'm monitoring just for a pod play on Tamalolo.
Okay, fair call. Like we said, Tamalolo, I'm happy to wait till next week for him as well to see what happens this week. Christian Crichton's still pretty cheap as well, only 214K. Got that added job security with that injury to Mansour as well. So if people don't have other issues, he could be a downgrade for Sammy. That's going to bank you over 200K, and you could use that then to upgrade to a Tamalolo or a Madison or someone like that in your forward pack. People are still buying SJ and Tohu Harris, which is interesting given that I don't think the Warriors play round 13. And you've got a couple of thoughts on SJ, don't you, about how he could go over the next month?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Warriors play, and just let me get this right, I think it's the Dragons, Storm, and the Tigers in the next 3 weeks. So those three sides have been ranked 1, 2, and 3 in the least points conceded in Supercoach this season. So SJ has played some pretty easy teams, or teams that have not been performing that well this year. So if you're looking at a few of them there, you got the Raiders, I think the Cowboys.
Titans, South.
A couple of those at home, Broncos as well. And even last weekend, and don't get me wrong, I will seriously be considering trading in Johnson for someone like a Riley Jackson in a few weeks. But even last week, he had that one amazing play in the 80th minute against the Broncos that netted him about 50 points. So before that, he was looking at about 30 points, and I was laughing. And I think we were both... Was he the banner?
Yes, he was. Yeah, just destroyed it at the end there.
Yeah, so I would not be trading him in now. I think that great if you started with him. He's done really well and in line with the Warriors, but if you look back, their draw has been pretty good, and they've got a really tough month ahead of them, which is probably almost going to be a season-defining month for them. So I'll be looking to trade him in maybe in a month after he's got past those hard games. And Tohu is just looking like an absolute gun this year and a must-have for your second row. So despite the draw, he is just a player that I think everyone will have come the end of the season.
Yeah, if the Warriors can get through this next month with the Dragons, the Storm, the Tigers, and then the Roosters, if they can get through that, say, 2-2, then they've got Para, Souths, and then the bye, and then Manly. So they can, you know, if they can get through the next month, they can set themselves up well to have a good run there in the middle of the year, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe make the finals for once.
The only thing that I'd say with Harris is he's been playing in a pack that's been missing Mannering, who does a lot of work. So I know they're going to be playing on opposite edges this weekend. But again, let's just see what happens with both of them playing 80 minutes and how that impacts his scoring, if anything.
Yep, fair call. What about these Tigers halves? They're very popular this week, Luke Brooks and Benji Marshall. Not overly popular, I suppose. 7th and 8th most traded as of this afternoon, but only 1,800 and 1,500 people bringing them in. So even though they're up there on the list, not huge volumes of trades. But obviously we know Tigers have been going great. Luke Brooks is looking at $1 million. I don't know personally if I would be bringing either of these two guys in, to be honest.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, Luke Brooks is 524K. He's got a negative break even in the 30, but you know he's going to be a limited cash generation player, and he's definitely not a keeper. And Benji just shouldn't really be on this list at all. Had you know the big game, obviously got a nice little price rise or big price rise. We'll get one more, but again, he's not like a Riley Jacks kind of price generation player. So I'd be definitely going Jacks over Benji. I think it's just the name, mate, that gets in there.
Yeah, I mean Benji's start to the year 27. 16, 15, 40, 28. You know, so through 5 weeks, he was averaging around about 25, maybe just over. And he obviously had tonned up on the weekend, which has jumped his price up and given him a negative break even. But Benji's definitely not an option. And Luke Brooks is quite expensive now. He started off the season quite slowly as well, had a couple of good weeks the last 2 weeks. And look, he does have the Knights and then Para coming up. So he's probably going to have a good next couple of weeks as well. but not someone who I would particularly want in my team long term, I don't think. Burgess is back from injury this week. Probably don't need to snap him up just yet. You can do that a bit closer to round 13. I've just written down here the two Melbourne wingers because I had noticed last week that they had really dropped in price. Obviously, both had quite a good game on the weekend, scoring at least one try each. Vunivalu got two.
Adokar got two.
Okay, maybe they both got two. Vunivalu had 34 points in scoring, but he still only scored 54 in total. Yep. So I don't think Vunivalu is an option at 407k. What do you think about Adokar? Just let me bring him up because he's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, no, I think in both weeks of the team's analysis, starting with last week, mate, I said that they were both criminally undervalued, particularly Adokar. I think he's around about 340,000, which is very, very low. He is definitely a pot option, but, you know, relies on the Storm to probably go a little bit better than what they have. So he is definitely a player that I am keeping a closer eye on. And if you wanted to, you know, do something a little bit different, and, you know, downgrade, say, Sammy to him, then that could potentially be a really, you know, a smart move.
Yeah, Broncos away this week, but then the Warriors at home, although the Warriors usually play quite well against the Storm in Melbourne, and then St. George away, but then Titans, Manly, North Queensland before the bye. So a couple of good games there over the next 6 weeks. I think Adokar is going to get himself back up, you know, maybe back up to his opening price of 450, 460K. So just one to watch, I suppose, really. Really, he's had a pretty slow start to the year, but maybe he's starting to find some form.
So there's a couple of players that aren't in the popular buy list at the moment that I definitely do have my eye on, and they are Broncos players. With the Broncos, they've got five of the next six games at home. I know they don't play round 13, but these players are all underpriced. First one is James Roberts. So he's priced at 438K, coming off a 62-point performance. You know, he's probably been pretty poor this year, averaging only 49, break-even 31. But, you know, he started in the mid-500s this year. And, you know, with that run of games at Suncorp, do not be surprised if he averages 65 points over that period. So he's another player that I think you can look to move Sammy onto. The other is Corey Oates. So Corey Oates has got the big negative break-even, 24. Looks to have finally settled now on the wing, scored 90 on the weekend. And again, I think he's going to benefit big time from playing, you know, at Suncorp as well. So he's priced very similar at 450K. So they're not bottom priced, either of those guys, but they're going to be pods. And I really can see the Broncos doing quite well over the next month or so because they've had a pretty tough opening start to the season, and they'll have a bit of confidence now coming off a great win in New Zealand. And the other one, of course, is Anthony Milford, who I don't own. I think you own him, but this is when he's going to shine. Averages 80 points a game, close to at Suncorp versus 50 points a game away. And being a Riley Jacks owner, or soon to be, he's definitely a guy that I'll be looking at in maybe 2 to 3 weeks. So they have the Storm this week, and then they've got a series of games after that. But in saying that, a few of the games are quite challenging at home, but historically, it's proven to be a pretty sure thing for Milford to go big at Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah, it's a really interesting draw for the Broncos. Like you say, five of the next six at Suncorp. One of them is an away game at against Manly that is at Suncorp. And actually, of their 18 remaining games, 12 of those 18 games are at Suncorp, with another away game against the Roosters later in the year being played at Suncorp. So, very good run.
And I think the benefit you'll find, I know they play a few Sunday games this year more, but they'll play a lot of Friday night games at Suncorp, which means that Milford is an amazing VC option, right? So, he's definitely a player to look at, and he's, you know, what's he priced at now? He's at 540K, break-even of 41. So I don't think he'll have a massive game this week. And then he's got the away game after that, I believe, and then it's all games because the Manly away game is at Suncorp.
Yep.
As part of the doubleheader.
Yep, exactly. All right, so there's plenty happening this week, plenty of injured players that we need to move on. A couple of peaked rookies there in Sammy in particular that we need to look to trade, and then a couple of fallen guns, in particular Taumalolo and Rapana. So like we said on the podcast last week, mate, really interesting time of year, isn't it? It's a good time to be playing, and plenty of trades to be made.
Yeah, it's a good time to be playing if your name isn't Nick.
Yeah, well, it's good. I know I've only got 19 weeks left in my career, so...
So you're starting your farewell now, mate. You're getting in early. You're going to start doing all your farewells. Are you going to have the where are you going to sit on the scoreboard? Do the old Robbie Farah with a can of beer in the last game? Where are you going to be based at East or something? Where would it be?
Don't know. Haven't thought about it. Where do I do most of my super coaching? It's just somewhere with the laptop, I think. Just sitting somewhere in a dark room on my own, just watching my team disintegrate.
That's disturbing, mate. That's disturbing.
It's like the Kobe. It's going to be like the Kobe farewell tour. Every week, someone's just going to be coming up to me on the street, just saying, "Oh, I'm sorry to see you go."
They only tend to do that to one person, mate, and it's the other person on this podcast.
Oh. Righto. Yeah, so
righto, mate.
For me, for trades this week, Gallen's got to go, and then probably Cartwright or Lodge. And then to bring in, I'm looking at a combination of DCE, Taumalolo, and Madison, one of those three, and then one of Gushevsky or Riley Jacks. I think I'm going to, like, Gallen to a comparable player, and then Cartwright's got to go to one of these guys with a bit of a low break even, I think. What about you?
Yes, I'll be trading out Marshall King to Jax at this stage, as long as he doesn't turn up for the Sunshine Coast Falcons. And then the other trade will be Sammy to Madison, which I think will leave me with a bit of cash left over, maybe about 30K, and I'll make another downgrade next week, hopefully, and then look to bring in Taumalolo or Fitzgibbon.
Beautiful. Sounds good, mate. Sounds good. Well, thank you again for jumping on the podcast. Thanks to everyone for downloading. Hopefully we covered everything off. As always, any questions, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere on the site, and ourselves or anyone else from the SC Talk community will surely get back to you with an educated response. But thanks again, mate. Good luck this week, and speak to you next week.
See you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.